This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
History has proven an empire, nation, or society that begins to diminish and disparage the meaning and value of marriage has indeed numbered its days. Whether we speak of the empires of the past like Rome, Greece, or France, it wasn't long thereafter when the very foundations of family began to weaken and crumble that the collapse of that society quickly followed. In the course of Western history, marriage has sadly lost its radiance. It has been abused, besmirched, and redefined to the degree that today it hardly retains the honor, integrity, and divine esteem it so richly deserves as a God-ordained holy institution. On today's program, we will explore some of the reasons why marriage is so important to the stability of a nation and society in general, and illustrate the value for making today's marriages work. In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding.
Well, hello, and welcome to another international broadcast of the Armor of God. It's great to be with all of you. As we get going on the broadcast today, what I'd like you to do is picture, in your mind's eye, the perfect marriage. Just take a moment and what do you see? Do you see a loving couple that are happily embracing each other, enjoying one another's company? I think if you're like most of us, that's what you see. It really is the picture of harmony. Now what I'd like you to do is, in your mind's eye, picture the exact opposite of harmony. Think of war. Maybe you're thinking of World War II, the Vietnam War, maybe the war in Afghanistan or Iraq. War is treacherous. It is the epitome of conflict. Now, this is going to be a little bit difficult, but I'd like you to picture that image that you had of the perfect marriage in the middle of a theater of war. Because that's what we're facing today, my friends. We are facing a war on marriage. And that's what we're going to talk about in today's program. But before I get any further, what I'd like to do is make sure that I offer you some free information that's going to go into a lot more detail than I can go into in the broadcast today. The first one is a CD. It's a one-hour sermon that is entitled Resolving Marital Conflict. This is a presentation by Pastor Bill Watson, who's going to go into a lot of detail on what the Bible says in terms of resolving marital conflict. The other offer that I'd like to provide to you is a reprint article entitled Bending the Twig. Bending the Twig. And that's by Pastor Bronson James. And that is going to share or detail for you some principles around raising children successfully. So with these two pieces of information, resolving marital conflict and bending the twig, you'll have a good foundation of instruction from the Bible on how not only you can have a happy marriage, but also how you can have a happy family. Now, as I was saying before, I want to make sure as well how to get the offer. You can call us at 888-578-8791. That's 888-578-8791. Or you can email us at info@cgi.org, or go to our website at www.cgi.org. No one's going to ask you for money. No one's going to follow up with you. This is a service, a Christian service that we provide completely free of charge. So make sure that you ask for Bending the Twig and Resolving Marital Conflict. Now, as I was saying before, I made the offer for you to follow up on. We are facing a war on marriage and family. This conflict on marriage began shortly after World War I. And I just want to give you a little bit of history before we get into the Bible. Prior to World War I, Karl Marx, which everybody I think is familiar with, he published what he called the Communist Manifesto. And in this, he outlined how utopia would be ushered in. And at the time, he was very concerned about the oppression of what he called the bourgeoisie over the proletariat, that is, the capitalists over the working class. And that the working class didn't have any access to property, they didn't own any capital, they just had to work for a living and work for the capitalists. He felt that a world war was coming, and that when it came, the workers all over the world would unite and throw off the shackles of the capitalist. World War I did in fact come. And the exact opposite happened. Everybody thought for sure Karl Marx's predictions would come true. What they found when the world went to war in World War I is that rather than unite, workers of the world actually fought against each other and killed each other by the millions. It was a devastating blow to the Karl Marx philosophy. But his loyal disciples still believed that somehow Karl Marx was right. Just something went wrong. For some reason, the proletariat, that is the working class, did not act out of their own best interest. And so a group of thought leaders, some very great intellectuals, came together in Frankfurt, Germany, in the 1920s, and they formed what was called the Institute of International or Social Research. And their objective, they would later be just referred to as the Frankfurt School. Their objective was to try to figure out what went wrong with Karl Marx's prediction. Why did the workers of the world, rather than unite, why were they so patriotic? And why did they fight for their countries? And what they determined was the root of the quote-unquote problem was the family. That the reason the workers of the world fought for their nations was they were wired as children to believe in their family, to identify themselves as members of their family. And that when the world went to war, they saw their nations as simply their extended family. And they fought for their families and for their extended families against each other. And so these intellectuals, they were Jewish intellectuals and Marxists, they concluded that in order for Marxism, global Marxism, to be successful, they had to destroy the family. At the same time, in the 30s now, Adolf Hitler came to power, who was a national fascist. And they were at risk, their lives were at risk, so they fled. And they came to America, New York. And because they were intellectuals, they were welcomed by Columbia University. As they came to America, they saw that the challenge of Marxism was even greater in America than it was in Europe. And the reason for that greater challenge was something called the middle class. That in America, workers had this opportunity to work hard and move up the social ladder to the middle class and participate in what they called the American dream. It was because of that American dream and the ability within a generation of workers to better their circumstances for themselves and their families that they realized that for Marxism to succeed, it wasn't going to succeed on an economic basis. So they took all the principles of Marxism and they made a pivot. They made a shift. Rather than focusing on the conflict, the economic conflict between capitalists and workers, they realized that was not going to be successful in America. They took all the principles of Marxism and they shifted to cultural conflict. That Marxism to succeed in America must succeed by overthrowing American culture. And to do that, they focused on every victimized group, every oppressed group, and they looked to overthrow America culturally. And they did this by first overtaking all of the higher education institutions. Because they were intellectuals, they began to formulate the curricula for future generations. Women's studies, gender studies, racial studies, all of these revolved around something they called critical theory. And that was the requirement to criticize Christian patriarchy. Don't offer any solution, just take every opportunity to criticize American culture and specifically Christian patriarchy. So this was now this new thrust of cultural Marxism. It culminated in the 60s. That was the real pivot in American culture. And I think many of you are familiar, as I say, the 60s. You're probably picturing hippies with tie-dye t-shirts and long hair and sandals. And that really was, you know, the summer of love. Well, that summer of love was really an outgrowth of one of these Frankfurt School thought leaders, Herbert Marcuse. There were others, Eric Fromm, Hank Horkheimer, many of them very powerful intellectuals. But this one, Herbert Marcuse, he really was the father of the movement in the 60s. And he was all about what he called polyamorous perversity. Polyamorous perversity. He wanted to destroy Christian marriage and destroy Christian family. And these Marxists really believe in sexual perversion. And the 60s, a free love, was, as I said, an outgrowth of this philosophy. And it was designed to destroy the Christian family. These thought leaders would be thrilled today. In their wildest dreams, they would not have seen the success that they've had. Today, we have now come to the point where we are redefining marriage. Marriage is no longer defined as a union between a man and a woman. We've now redefined it. Marriage is now, we can now have same-sex unions, and we call this marriage. My friends, this has never been done before. Nowhere in the history of mankind have we ever had same-sex marriage. So the implications of this for society are unknown and unprecedented. By opening the door to same-sex marriage, we have really opened the door to any definition of marriage. Now we're seeing not just people, couples coming to the altar for marriage, we're seeing what are called throuples. Two men and a woman, two women and a man, wanting to be married and demanding their right to be married. We're seeing the push for lowering the age of consent so that adults can marry children. We're seeing the call for people to have the ability to marry their pets. Herbert Marcuse, the Frankfurt School, these thought leaders, they would be thrilled. This fits perfectly with the Marxist ideology and the Marxist objective of destroying the Christian marriage. Now, turn with me to the scriptures in this back half now. Let's look at what the Word of God says. I want to begin in Matthew 24. Because in Matthew 24, Jesus Christ gives us a prophecy of the end time. And what is really interesting about this prophecy is marriage features in the end time prophecy. And that shows us that right up until Jesus Christ returns, marriage continues to be on the agenda. In Matthew 24, beginning in verse 37, it says, well, Christ says, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood," notice this, "they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." In other words, it's not until Noah was taken to safety in the ark that God finally rained down his wrath on these people. And they were completely unaware of the wrath that was coming. They were just living their life, they were enjoying their life, and they were marrying and giving in marriage. And that's how it's going to be before Jesus Christ returns. So clearly, if these are evil people, if these are the wicked, if these are the people that are going to have God's wrath rain down upon them, this marriage and this marrying and giving in marriage is not the Christian marriage. And so we want to make an appeal to you today to return to the values of the Bible, to return to Christian principles, to understand what marriage is. Marriage is a divine institution. That was the very first marriage was conducted by God himself. Turn with me to Genesis 2, where we see the first marriage conducted in Genesis 2 and verse 18. After God gave Adam this assignment, biological assignment, of naming all the creatures, and Adam had to understand all these different creatures and what their core essence was and assign names to them. After that assignment, and as Adam was doing this, he saw all of these creatures had a mate. and he came to realize that he didn't have a mate and began to feel the pain of loneliness. And after experiencing that realization, God says in verse 18 of chapter 2, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him.'" And so he goes on in verse 21, that the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, listen to what Adam says, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." So Adam understood this being came from me. And so as he was naming all the creatures based on their core essence, he named this creature, this creation, woman, because she was taken out of the man. And then Moses writes in verse 24, "Therefore, because of this union by God," or we could call it a reunion, because she was taken from him and was reunited to him, because of this reunion, Moses writes, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And what we see now is this first marriage shows us that marriage is a building block for civilization. That the man and the woman join together, they leave their mother and father, who were a union, and they come and they form their own union. And these unions become the building block of civilization. In fact, the American civilization, the American empire, this global empire, and the British Empire before, were great and became the greatest empires the world has ever seen, have blessed more people than any other empire before. And I know some of you are thinking, yeah, but there's all kinds of problems and faults. With every human empire, there are problems and faults. But no empires have blessed the world more than the British and the American empires, both empires founded upon the principles of Christian marriage and family. And as we have moved away from these principles, we have watched these empires decline. The Marxists would be thrilled. Now, marriage is difficult. And when it says that, you know, the man and a woman come together and become one flesh, this is no easy process. But it is a worthwhile process. And I don't know what's happening in your life today, but just based upon our society, you might be struggling. Well, I'll tell you, if you're in an unhappy marriage, the answer is not adultery. The answer is not polyamorous perversity. The answers are in the Bible. And we saw that the true definition of marriage from Genesis 2. Let's now understand what marriage actually pictures. And we see this in Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, and we'll just cut in and begin in verse 25, Ephesians 5, "Husbands, love your wives." This is the instruction to husbands. To love our wives. How? "Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." This is telling us now what marriage is really all about. Yes, it's a human institution, but more importantly, it's a divine institution. Right from the very beginning, between Adam and Eve, they were married by God himself. And this couple, Adam and Eve, actually were a symbol of God's plan for mankind. That when they gave their word to each other, and when we in marriage today give our word to each other, that word has to mean something. We need to be bound by our word. That when we say, "Till death do us part," then it's till death do us part. And as we go through life and the various trials and tribulations of life and the struggles of one human being communicating with another, we know that no one's going to walk out. And it is a tragedy today how easy divorce is. It's so easy to get a divorce. And that is part of the Marxist agenda, that divorce is easy because they want to destroy marriage. And so if there's any way that you can save your marriage and get professional help, that's what you want to do. And so here husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. And it goes on to talk about this sacrifice of Christ and then says, in this way, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. But I want to drop down now to verse 31, where the apostle writes, "For this reason," he actually quotes Moses, "for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh," that building block for society that nobody can tear apart. And then listen to what he says in verse 32. "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So that initial marriage that we saw in Genesis 2 was a symbol of Christ and the church. That this first Adam failed, and Eve represents Christ's wife. And so the second Adam, Christ, has come to redeem Eve, to redeem his wife. There should be no chapter break. From here we go right into Ephesians 6, where we now see instruction about children obeying their parents, and fathers not provoking our children to wrath. And then he goes on to talk about, basically in today's language, employees being obedient to their employers, and employers being merciful to their employees. And this is the answer to the conflict that Karl Marx saw between the proletariat and the bourgeoisie. It was not for the proletariat to rise up and destroy the bourgeoisie. It was rather the instruction right here in Ephesians 6, which is rooted in the instructions of Ephesians 5. That is to say, the Marxists were right, that those human minds that are shaped by a loving couple and a loving Christian family, those human minds are going to be healthy minds. They're going to be loyal minds. They're going to be loyal to their family. And it is these kinds of minds that can be shaped in such a way that we see what we see in Ephesians 6, that employees and employers can trust each other, can look after each other, each one looking out for the other rather than looking out for themselves. Our society today is falling apart. Divorce is rampant. Having children out of wedlock is rampant. Having children grow up with multiple mothers and fathers is rampant. Even couples that are together, they're not necessarily happy. And children are growing up looking at these unhappy marriages and thinking, "I don't want anything to do with this." The only solution to, in fact, I'll even add as well, this migrant crisis that the Western societies are facing, where we are letting in people into our countries by the tens of thousands, by the hundreds of thousands, in some cases by the millions. This is all part of the demoralization of Western civilization. That when we have to go to war, we hate our country so much, we don't believe that we are a nation or a family, that why would we fight for our nations? We are at risk, my friends, but you don't have to be. And our marriages are at risk, but yours doesn't have to be. And that's why I really want to urge you to write in for this material that I offered at the beginning of the program. The first one is 1 hour of instruction by Pastor Bill Watson on resolving marital conflict. And it doesn't matter how happy your marriage is, there's always conflict between two human minds that think differently, that have been shaped differently, that come together. But these two human minds can come together in harmony. The same way parents and children can have harmony, the same way employers and employees can have harmony, if we follow the biblical principles. And Pastor Bill Watson will explain this in resolving marital conflict. The other offer that I'd like you to write in for is bending the twig. If you have children or grandchildren, it's critical that you understand your role as a parent or a grandparent. The Marxists certainly understand how important it is to capture the children. And that's why we have daycare systems and abortion and everything targeted to children. We need to understand God's plan for children. And you'll understand this better when you read the reprint article by Bronson James, Bending the Twig. You can get both of these offers free of charge simply by going to our website at www.cgi.org. Or you can email us at info@cgi.org. Or if your preference is to call us, go ahead and call us at 888-578-8791. That's 888-578-8791. Let me conclude by saying this. There's a war on the family, on the Christian family. There's a war on your family. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is Adrian Davis. It's been great being with you. I look forward to seeing you again on another Armor of God.
Well, I bet you'd have to admit that Adrian had an awful lot to say about marriage on today's program. And I thought it was very interesting to give us some backdrop on how, just what the history is in association of how the building blocks of Western society have been attacked and taken down through the influences of Marxist tenets, Marxist values, and actual standards that have been taught by those coming over from Europe and embedding themselves in to the universities here in North America to essentially attach their teachings into the young minds, impressionable minds of young people. And I hope, in addition, that you were able to decipher the very clear warning that Adrian had to all of us here today, and that is that marriage is under attack, my friends. Yes, family is under attack. Fatherhood and motherhood is under attack, and they're being redefined. Two men, one man working the role of a woman. Two women in a marriage relationship, one woman taking the role of the husband. I mean, things that used to be considered good are now considered bad. Relationships that were considered normal are now considered abnormal. That's right, my friends. Things that were considered godly are now considered to be ungodly, close-minded, and biased in some cases, and bigoted in other cases. My friends, it has been turned upside down in so many ways. And you know, you wonder, how did all this happen? Well, very simply, we allowed it. Won't you let us help you to better understand how we can turn things around? Dial now, 888-578-8791, and ask for the free offers that we have on today's program. One is an article, a reprint article, easily read in one sitting, titled Bending the Twig. It'll help you to understand how you can get in between the educational efforts of these universities that we have today and proactively take charge of your children's minds. And a one-hour presentation in addition, talking about resolving marital conflicts, so very important in the assurance of having happy marriages today. So dial now, 888-578-8791, or hit us on our website at www.cgi.org and ask for both of these free offers, my friends. This is Bill Watson reminding you always, as we often do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.